This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. I trust the program encourages you and blesses you and perhaps even challenges you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and this program can be re-listened to there as well. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd like to pray for you if you have burdens upon your heart, and we would love any comments that you might have with regard to the program. So we'll be waiting to hear from you. Now, today we want to look at a word in the Bible that describes faith, and it's the word look. We've been looking at words that help us understand what the gospel is and who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And often I'm asked by people, how do you get faith? And the Bible has a number of ways of describing faith, and one of those is to look. And in the Old Testament it says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And I want to read that passage with you. It's in Isaiah 45, starting at verse 20. Now this has to do with a national salvation, but we can apply the principle to a personal salvation that each one of us need to enjoy in this life so that we can be ready for the next. Now in Isaiah 45 and verse 20, the Lord says through Isaiah, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. And then the 21st verse says, tell and bring forth your case. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no other God besides me? Now, this is God speaking. There is no other God beside me. He's speaking through Isaiah, but he's a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. All other gods are make-believe gods. And sometimes they're gods that are energized by satanic influence. But if you want a God that's a Savior, a God that is a just God, there's only one. And that is our Creator God, who is revealed to us in the Bible, and who finally comes to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and dies for our sins at the cross of Calvary. And in Isaiah 45, verse 22, I'm leading up to this verse, it says, look to me. Don't look to these fake gods. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. So we need to look to the Lord, and that's a principle that we find out throughout Scripture. And this look is not a casual look, as I've mentioned. It's not a glance. It's a look of appropriation or expectation and of confidence. And it does represent faith. And so in John 3 and verse 14, Nicodemus had come to the Lord by night, and he was a Pharisee. He was educated. He was part of the ruling council of the Jews. And he comes to the Lord by night and asks him about his ministry. We know, he says, thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And so the miracles of the Lord had spoken to Nicodemus, but Nicodemus was still in the dark with regard to this matter of salvation, a very reverent man, no doubt, but he was still in the dark. And the Lord says to him in John 3 and verse 14, after telling him that he must be born again, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And here he says that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Notice there is a possibility of perishing for eternity. If eternal life is for eternity, then this perishing must be for eternity as well. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And yet when we look at the Old Testament passage, it doesn't use the word believe, it uses the word look. The Israelites were to look at this brazen serpent, this brass serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness. And I want to read that passage to you because it's illustrative of how we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Numbers 21, "Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water.' And yet they'd had both food and water given to them. Food was the manna that came miraculously down every morning, and which spoke of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the water speaks always to us, if it's living water, not cistern water, but if it's living water, it speaks to us of the Holy Spirit. And so there is no food and no water, but there was. And our soul loathes or hates this worthless bread." They had gotten to where the miraculous bread that was sustaining them was something that had gotten stale, and they hated it now. "So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died." And those fiery serpents really represent the bite of death, the bite of sin. The fiery serpents, when they bit the people, the people died from those bites. And so therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And again, Moses then is a picture of the Lord as an intercessor. And he was praying that the serpents would be taken away. We have our way of wanting God to save us, and God always has a better way. Our way always has something to do with something that we do. But the better way is to depend on something that God has done for us. And so he says, "Here, take away these serpents." And we prayed that they would take away the serpents, but the Lord didn't do it that way. The Lord said, "Make a fiery serpent, a brazen serpent, and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." Now here, it's looking that caused them to live. In John chapter 14, that look was translated as, or was explained as, believing in the Lord Jesus. Now the brazen serpent was lifted up on a pole, and brass always speaks of judgment in the Bible. And so this is talking about a serpent who represents the judgment that God is willing to accept in the person of his son, the punishment at least, that God is willing to accept in the person of his son so that we can be saved. And so they were to make this brazen serpent, set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, if the Lord had taken away the serpents, everybody that had already been bitten would have died. But because he provided this brazen serpent, those who had already been bitten and those who were being bitten all could be saved by looking to that brazen serpent. Now, in the past, I've often preached on this passage as though if you weren't real confident in that brazen serpent, you would be stupid if you didn't go outside the tent door or wherever you were staying and look at it just to see if it would work. But I don't think that's what God is saying, and I'm not convinced that that kind of a look would have saved, because I believe when the Lord is talking about looking, he's talking about those people who, knowing they've been bitten, knowing that they're going to die, have enough confidence in the Lord and in Moses to look and appropriate by faith the blessing of the salvation that brazen serpent provided. I think the look had to be more than a casual glance. I think it had to be a person who, in need, went and took advantage of the solution that the Lord was providing. And the reason I'm saying this is because I listen to people today and they say, "Well, I don't ever remember being born again, but I've always believed." Well, I just have trouble with that, because the Bible seems to make it a point that even in Romans, it says, "Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." It's a point in time experience. And it's true that believing is something that, even myself, I believed in the truth of Scripture and in the fact that I needed to be saved, because I was raised reading the Bible around the kitchen table, and I knew that was true. But it wasn't until I was 20 that I trusted in the truth that Christ had died for me, and I was waiting for God to save me. And I found out that God had already sent his son to the cross to do that for me. And I rested on what Christ had done and on the promise of scripture. And I don't think that's a casual look. I think we're talking about people who, realizing their need, look expecting to be healed. And that's exactly what happened in the Old Testament. And it's a picture of what happens when we look to the Lord in the New Testament. And so, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now that's the truth, isn't it? And the Lord was lifted up. He did die at the cross. And the reason we have confidence in the fact that if we believe in him, we'll not perish is because the scriptures connected with his first coming are so clearly fulfilled. Many of them, many of the prophecies being written years before the things happened. I can show you from the Old Testament how that even David could say, they pierced my hands and my feet in Psalm 22, but yet David's hands and feet were never pierced as far as we know. There's no record of that in the Bible, but he's speaking prophetically of what happened to the Lord at the cross, and he spoke about it 1,000 years before it happened. And this story about the serpent being lifted up in the wilderness, that was written probably at least 1,500 years before the Lord came and died at the cross of Calvary. I may be wrong on my chronology there, but it was many years, because David was 1,000 years before Christ. This would have had to have been at least 1,500 years before Christ, if I'm not mistaken. So this is not a casual glance. This is really a situation where we, as sinners who know that we need to be forgiven, we need to be saved, we hear about the story of the gospel, and we study the scriptures, and we listen to what people have said, and we develop our confidence in what the promises of scripture are. And instead of saying, well, do I believe? It's better to say, well, is this true? And if this is true, then we have no we should have no problem trusting in it. And that trust is what is represented by the look of faith that even in the Old Testament they were asked to do. So the Lord uses these Old Testament stories, these Old Testament histories, these Old Testament examples to help us understand in the New Testament how we can be saved. And it's a very simple thing. And I know I come back to this issue of salvation frequently, because many people would rather I gave motivational speeches or told you how to save your marriage or told you how to get rich. And I can't do all of that. But I can tell you that you'll be rich beyond measure if you look to the Lord and if you are saved. And again, I go back to the verse in Isaiah 55 where he says, look unto me and be ye saved, be ye delivered, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There's no other way to be saved. But you can be saved just by turning from what you thought was right, from your sin, from your rebellion, turn from telling God how to do his job to accepting the fact that God wants you to just believe that he has already provided in the person of the Lord Jesus the salvation that we need. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word and upon this program, and trust that there will be those who listen who will either be saved for the first time or who will be reassured that they have been saved because they have looked unto the Lord, and they are saved. They have looked by faith. Now we give thanks for thy word. We give thanks for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen.